This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's halftime of the Triple Threat, presented by Zadig Jewelers.
I'm looking at Stormy Daniels' IMDb right now.
Oh, you're not on a company computer.
Her IMDb is just her filmography, Rich. Okay. It's, yeah.
No images?
No, there's no images. It's IMDb. Have you ever been to IMDb? It's the Internet Movie Database.
I have been to IMDb. Okay, well, there are some images from time to time.
There are, but none with boobs or nudity or any animated GIFs of sexual activity.
The Triple Threat, presented by Zadig Jewelers. Finest selection of Swiss watches on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
A little mad at BMAC that he didn't include my Witches of Brestwick 6 and 7 line in there.
There's still time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a multi-layered conversation we were having.
It was. And by the
way, I feel like he got several 4 o'clock opens out of that conversation.
I was going to say, Brandon Porter's sitting in, and thank you, Brandon, for producing the show today. BMAC has the day off, but apparently BMAC left him a 4 o'clock open.
Yeah, well, it's sponsored. So, you got to make sure that you got to, if there's cheddar coming in, you got
to
make sure that cheddar gets melted. Yeah, absolutely.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I just want to say happy birthday to my favorite football player of all time, Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell's birthday.
Oh, it's his birthday today?
It sure is.
That should be. You know what? That should be a holiday in the city of Houston.
It should be.
They
should
make it a holiday. We should get Earl Campbell Day.
I agree.
And we'll all sit around and eat his sausages and watch highlights of him running over people back in 1979.
I see this that it's his birthday today. It just takes me back to the Houston Sports Awards and how fun that night was.
Yeah.
And to see those 334s up there on stage.
Yeah.
Being interviewed. That was a really great night, man. Oh.
I'm going to guess. I'm not looking at it, I promise. 62?
He is,
Probably so. Figure he's 22 coming out in 1978. Tack on 40 years.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when my computer decides to
stop. Problem. No
worries. Yeah, we'll save it.
Happy birthday, Earl.
Yeah, happy birthday, Earl.
See, Ted, I thought you were about to say it was your birthday.
63 years old.
63.
Okay. 63 years old.
I thought you were going to say it was your birthday.
No, it's not my. No, no, no.
Because he said my favorite football player ever.
I don't think Ted's that big an egomaniac.
Oh, come on, Ted. You love you some Ted.
Oh, I know. There's no question
I
do.
Just in the game, know your role.
Okay.
All right.
Now, you've said many times that Earl is your all-time guy.
First number I ever wore was 34.
Yeah. Brian McTaggart tweets, this is from earlier today, but I think it's a good reset at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. We're in Arlington at Humperdinck's for Astros opening day. Really, Astros opening weekend up here. We're going to the game tomorrow night. Obviously, opening day is going on right now as we speak. Astros lead 3-0 in Arlington. And we're at the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk, thanks to Bayway Chevrolet. George Springer led the game off with a home run. The Astros have been up 1-0 since the game started at 2:40. At about 2:40 and 45 seconds, they took their first lead of the season, and they haven't looked back yet. Brian McTaggart tweets, Springer is the first player in Major League Baseball history to lead off back-to-back seasons with a home run. He led off last season with a home run, too.
He did.
The first player in MLB history to lead off back-to-back seasons with a home run for his team. The only previous player to lead off two different seasons, forget back-to-back, just two different seasons with a home run. Also a former Astro. Outfielder, Terry Poole.
Oh.
1978 and 1980, he led off both of those seasons with a dinger. How about that?
Terry Poole was a solid player for this team for many, many years.
He was. He was steady as they go. He was the Josh Reddick of those late 70s, early 80s teams.
Great defensive outfielder,
yeah,
too.
Sean, we were talking about before the show, I think just if you talk about the Astros in terms of just sure offensive numbers, they probably rank 1, 2, or the top 5 in every category.
You could pull every category,
Here's one category. I believe George Springer led the major leagues in leadoff home runs last year.
Oh, he had to.
He did,
yes.
9.
He had to have. Not your normal. A.J. Hinch catches some heat for that, so maybe not now that they've won a World Series, but that was a big topic last year. Not so much in the World Series, the topic was dropping George Springer because he couldn't hit, and eventually he turned it around. But during the season, I know there are people that feel like they leave runs on the field because instead of having Springer batting leadoff, they feel like they should have him batting in a power spot, like maybe batting fifth behind Correa or
tell those people to check the numbers. This is the best offense in baseball.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it ain't broke, man. It ain't broke. And here's the thing, especially in the American League where you're not, your leadoff hitter is not batting behind the pitcher.
Yes.
Right? In this lineup where 1 through 9 are capable hitters, George Springer's basically, once the first inning's over, he's in kind of a quasi-run-producing position anyways when those bottom-of-the-order guys are getting on.
You know, when Larry Durker was the manager in the late 90s and early 2000s, he would talk about stuff like this, and people would look at him like he had three heads. You know, what are you talking about? Larry would basically say, look, the only time a batting order means anything is the first time through. After that, it's random situations when you come up with different amounts of outs in the inning or runners on or not, and it could be the bottom of your order, it could be the top of your order. So it's not necessarily...
You can't manipulate it. You can't manipulate it. You just...
It's overrated.
Yeah, it is. Aaron Judge bats second for the Yankees.
Yeah, there you go.
And forever...
He looks like traditional four-hole guy.
Right. Forever, the stereotypical two-hole hitter guy was... Your leadoff guy was a speed guy, so your two-hole guy had to be a guy who made contact and worked the count and was willing to give himself up so that your speedy leadoff guy could go steal a base. That's done. Like, that's 1995,
right,
man.
20 years ago, there's no way Jose Altuve is not the leadoff batter
right,
in this
because
lineup.
Because he's the only guy that can steal a base for you.
He is at the top of the lineup, no questions asked.
Yeah, and now he's a three-hole hitter and he's an MVP. Yeah. Thank you, good night. So the Astros continue to lead 3-0. Justin Verlander, knock on wood,
in full command,
continues to mow down Texas Rangers.
Only two hits,
one at a time
so far.
Yeah. He looks great. So worth every penny of the $20 million the Astros are paying and the $8 million that the Tigers are paying.
Yeah, and under contract for another year after
another
this,
year after
and
this.
Then a player option.
No. He, as part of him coming here, he had an option that would have invoked automatically if he finished like in the top five of the Cy Young. He had that taken out when he got here because he wanted a little bit more freedom. I think, though, like if this team is...
Oh, they're in good shape.
If they're what they're supposed to be this year and next year...
He's not going to want to go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not going to want to go anywhere. And I think the team's going to want to keep him because I think he's one of those guys... I know he's 34, 35 years old. I think he's just going to be one of those guys like his hero, Nolan Ryan, that's going to be, as long as he's in shape, he's going to be a horse until he's about 40 years old.
There's no question in my mind that's how it's going to be.
Yeah. So we'll see.
He's just wired that way, man. He can handle it.
Yep. So we're live in Arlington, and James Palmer is what we teased into this segment. James Palmer sat down with Bill O'Brien, I believe, at the owners' meetings. James Palmer, our friend with the NFL Network.
Rising star in the NFL Network.
That's right. And talked to Bill O'Brien about the offense of this Texans team with Deshaun Watson now in the fold as the unquestioned starter heading into next season.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. Bill told me they are putting in an entirely different offense, and yet we had a lot of success with what Deshaun Watson was doing. Why put in an entirely different offense? And he really told me everybody saw what we did with Deshaun this past season. They're changing things, and it's not even completely put into place yet. They're still putting it all together, and he said the teaching portion of this is going to be the challenge because of Deshaun's specific skill set that is so different and so lethal at the same time. Teaching it is going to be the aspect, but they are changing things up dramatically on the offensive side of the ball, but they still do have weapons too, and we saw what DeAndre Hopkins was able to do. Will Fuller as well when Deshaun Watson was healthy.
I think you can make arguments on either side, just purely what you hear in that soundbite. Yeah. I'm sure it's more complex than a 45-second soundbite can encapsulate. What's your initial reaction when you hear that?
Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and this is sort of an elaboration on that conversation. The more I hear about this dramatically different offense, the more I'm starting to think that this is a narrative that Bill O'Brien wants to put out there.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Rich.
But it's not necessarily going to be a dramatically different offense.
I'm trying to figure out how it would look if it's going to be a dramatic difference. You have to incorporate a lot of the same things you were incorporating when he was your starter, weeks 2 through 8, whatever it was.
Right.
So you have to – I mean, look, the play action, the movement, the RPOs, those are all part of what made him so great last year. You're not going to stop doing that.
And the obvious question to ask is – why would you dramatically alter an offense that was putting up 39 points a game for 5 weeks in a row, the most in the NFL? Look, I get the point that they've seen everything we were doing with Deshaun, and they're going to be a little more prepared, presumably, to battle whatever we're going to do with him. And you know, that they might have to change things up a little bit, but dramatically change the offense, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either. The whole thing is going to be the most successful part is when he's in shotgun, one back offset, and do the run RPO thing, do a lot of play action off of that, and just grow from there. I mean, but it's going to be a huge movement, and play action is going to be the bread and butter for this offense this year like it was last year.
Is it weird that the first thing I thought of when I heard this soundbite from James Palmer was the Wattcat? My first thing I thought of was, I think my thinking is, and I like Bill O'Brien. I thought Bill O'Brien did an amazing job last year with Deshaun Watson in those six games.
Yeah.
I feel like there are times where Bill O'Brien like may overthink things and try to get a little cute. And as soon as I hear a soundbite about Bill O'Brien taking something that generated 34 points a game last year in six games, and basically that soundbite makes it sound like he's tearing it up and starting over again. I'm like, why would you start over again?
That doesn't make
sense. Is this Bill O'Brien
now,
like the mad scientist getting into the room and overthinking it?
That
was my initial reaction.
It ain't broke.
But here's the thing, though, you guys. Here's the thing. Bill O'Brien's never coached a quarterback like this, as far as I can tell.
No,
in his past,
he never has.
Right? And so if you're – all these coaches – What kind of defense does Romeo Crennel hang his hat on?
Well, it's a 3-4 base.
3-4 base. It's 3-4, cover 2. You know, and certain guys and coaches are known for a specific kind of, you know, thing, right? And to me, Bill O'Brien has always coached quarterbacks that are pocket quarterbacks. So, you know, so this is a new offense for him. But the only thing I can think that maybe be more drastic is that you just see more plays from the pocket than you did last year. But that would be dumb because the play action worked so well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, they need to beef up the running game. They better hope that the tackles they put out there are better than the tackles they had last year.
I would do a lot of the same type principles that you see the Denver Broncos do in the Kubiak system. To me, Deshaun can thrive in that type of system.
Like they did some zone scheme stuff last year with the blocking.
Do a lot of the zone runs.
Yep,
the one cut. Yep. Play action off of it.
Yeah.
Bootleg.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.